GoodSuccess.com.
Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence. Lord, we return all the glory to you. Be magnified and be exalted in Jesus' name. Let no one return back the same way in the name of Jesus. Lord, visit everyone tonight and let everyone have an encounter of a lifetime in the name of Jesus. Father, change everyone's story. As you have been doing it before, come and do it again. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome to everyone who has joined, and at the end of this episode, everyone will be able to contribute. Praise the Lord. The topic remains how to intentionally have good success in life. There is a way to get answers to prayers all the time. So we are looking at the law of prayer today. Let's look at the following scriptures. Matthew 7, 7 to 8. It says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeks finds. And to him that knocks it shall be opened. Praise God. And if you look at Matthew 6, 9 to 15, that is the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. We often call it the prayer of the Lord, but it is actually our prayer because Jesus will not sin. So because sin is there, so it is our prayer. The disciples were smart enough to ask Jesus that teach us to pray. It's not as if these people have not been praying. According to history, many of them are older than Jesus himself. But they saw that Jesus was always getting answers to prayers. So they were smart enough and they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. We want to know how to pray. So Jesus taught them in Matthew 6, 9 to 15 how to pray. And I'm sure that most of us will actually, if not all of us, will quote that scripture. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And it is more like a template of prayers. A template of answered prayers. That if you follow this template, I don't think Jesus meant that we should be repeating those words every time we pray. No, he was actually giving us a template to follow. To always see our prayers answered. Praise the Lord. And lastly, we are looking at Isaiah 50 verse 7 that says, for the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and know that I will not be ashamed. Praise the Lord. Some people have received answers to their prayers a few times, while others wonder if God ever answers at all. I don't know where you stand today. Maybe you receive answers to prayer some of the time or all of the time. Or some people, they actually wonder if God answers at all. But the critical question would be to know if there was a way to have your prayers answered all the time. Rejoice because God has the answers here today. There is a way to pray and be sure of answers every single time you pray. Personally, I can't look back at my life and see any prayer that was never answered that I prayed. I'm still thinking about it. Maybe there was one, I don't know. But every prayer I prayed to God, that I prayed according to the will of God, according to everything I'm sharing here today, I've always been answered. Every single one has been answered. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Some people have probably received answers to their prayers a few times. Maybe others wonder if God ever answers prayers. But what we want to know is there a way to have our prayers answered all the time? Praise the Lord. Some people even pride themselves in the fact that, oh, I can pray for so long. I prayed for 8 hours yesterday. I prayed for 20 hours. Who really cares? No one cares how long you pray. What everyone cares about is all the while you've been praying, what have you brought from it? What is the result of your long prayers? That is exactly what we are interested in. I don't care whether you pray 5 minutes or 20 hours or 10 hours. Are you getting results? And I pray that after this episode, every one of us will get results from our prayer lives in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to look at about 10 ingredients of answered prayers. You know, when you are cooking a soup, there are ingredients. The real soup itself, maybe it's vegetable. You have some other stuff, other spices and everything. They all make the soup a great one. So what we are interested in is What are the ingredients that make a good prayer soup, in quotes? Praise the Lord. Success is a complex soup that requires several components. Else, it will just remain a dream or a mirage. You know, you're just looking at it, you're wishing and wishing. God forbid that someone just wishes and wishes until he leaves this world. That will not be any of our portions in Jesus' name. So we must understand that just like a soup or food that we cook, prayer has different ingredients that if one is missing, that prayer may just be a waste of time. None of us waste time in prayers anymore in Jesus' name. But we must understand this, that prayers must be learned. We should never assume that we know how to pray. No, the disciples were smart enough not to assume that they know how to pray. They said, Jesus, we see that you get answers to your prayers all the time. What are these ingredients? Number one is intentionality. Jesus said, when you pray, pray in this manner. Last week, we were able to look at the law of intentionality. So today, it is resurfacing again. It all starts from the preparation of the heart. How much do you need the answers? And do you see God as the only one to provide solution to the questions you have, to the requests you have from God? Or do you have alternatives? So number one, in the law of intentionality, we see two things. Number one is desire, then plan and programming. So number one, you must have a desire that you want to be granted. The Bible tells us that faith is the evidence of things hoped for. So you must have a hope. You must have something in your heart that you want God to do, that God must do. If you don't have that hope, forget it. Faith has no substance. Faith has no foundation. Faith has nothing to deal with. So the real foundation of faith, the real foundation of your prayer is your desire. What do you want God to do? If you don't have any desire to pray in your prayer time, just worship God. Just praise Him and leave. Because without desire, there is no answer in view. Then number two, plan and program. When you want to pray, make sure you have a plan. As much as possible, if you have a major desire, write it down. Write relevant scriptures. Praise the Lord. So the number one ingredient of answer prayers is intentionality. Number two is consistency. The Bible tells us in Luke 18:1-8, Jesus told us the story of a widow that was always going to a judge that didn't fear God or man. So that's actually referring to God. Of course, who does God want to fear? God fears nobody. So that woman kept going to the judge, avenge me, fight for me. He kept going over and over again. So Jesus reveals to us that in prayers, there is consistency. There's the part of you not giving up in your prayers. No matter how much faith you have, you cannot give up until you have gotten your answers. Praise the Lord. So there is a place of consistency in not giving up, and there's a place of consistency in your times of prayer. So you want to keep some certain times of prayer. Of course, the Bible says pray all times, pray in season and out of season. So the part of season is important. You want to pray in season. What does that mean? Meaning that you have consistent times that you can wake up and say, okay, at 5 o'clock every day, I always pray. So that's one of the secrets of effectiveness in prayer. Praise the Lord. Number three is confidence. Hebrews 11:2. Confidence. The Bible says that whoever comes to God must believe that this God exists, or that He has the power enough to answer our prayers. So you must have that confidence in God that you are coming to, because it's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So if you don't have confidence in Him, there is no way prayers can be answered. So number one, intentionality. Number two, consistency. And number three, confidence. Confidence. Praise God. So confidence makes you stay there until you get an answer. That is what happened to that widow in Luke 18:1. She was so confident that that judge had enough power to avenge her. So you must know that God is the only source. God is the only one who has the answers to prayers. Confidence. For anyone who has ever prayed for the sick or raised the dead or cast out demons, there is one thing they have in common: confidence in the God who could do it. Without confidence, you can't pray for the sick, because you'll be thinking, what if God does not do it? What if He does it? What if He sees answer? What if I don't see answer? But if you have confidence enough in God, you can look at a mountain and say, move, and it will move. Praise the Lord. Then number four is very important. We're going to dwell on this a bit. The will of God is another ingredient that you cannot miss. It's just like when you want to cook vegetable soup and you don't have vegetable, you know that soup is not complete. So the will of God is a major ingredient where most Christians fail. praying in the will of God is the only guarantee that your prayer will be answered. And what is the will of God? I will mention four things by God's grace. Number one is sanctification. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4:3 that for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. It's not only about sexual immorality, it's about you obeying God at all times. You want to be sanctified. You want to be presentable to God. You want to be born again first. That is the beginning of the sanctification of any child of God. So your sanctification is a guarantee that God will answer your prayers. Praise God. B part, that's 4B, part of the will of God is thanksgiving. The Bible also tells us that thanking God is the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. If you are out of the will of God, your prayers cannot be answered. So God is saying the number one will is sanctification. The number two is being grateful, living a life of thanksgiving, giving thanks to God for what he has done in time past, for even the opportunity to pray. So thanksgiving is a major, major part of the will of God that you must pass before prayers can be answered. Then the place of obedience. This one cannot be stressed enough. Zechariah 7:13. He said, because I called, you did not answer. He said, you too, you will call and you will not answer. God forbid. He said, I called, you did not listen. Therefore, you call, I will not listen. So if we are living in disobedience to God, we cannot expect answers to be granted to our prayers. If you are disobeying God, maybe God told you to do something and you refuse to do it, then don't expect God to answer your prayers. How do we know that? See the example of Jonah in the Bible. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh to go and preach. Smart Jonah took a journey to Tarshish instead of Nineveh. And guess what? Because of his disobedience, there was a storm. Divine protection was taken away from his life. And he also knew what he did, so he didn't even bother to pray. He just went to sleep. And everybody was wondering, what happened to this guy? Why is he sleeping when everybody's calling on their God? And he said, you know what? Just throw me away. Your prayers will be answered. If you throw me away, your prayers will be answered. So he knew that the solution to the problem was obedience. The same way for every child of God. If we are consistently disobeying God in anything that he may have told you, personal instructions, public instructions, if you are disobeying God, expect that prayers cannot be answered. Praise the Lord. And the Bible also tells us that you can only punish the disobedience of demons, enemies, negative situations when your own obedience is complete. 2 Corinthians 10:6. So your own obedience must be complete first before you can start talking about casting out any demon or silencing any negative situation of life. So the will of God includes sanctification, thanksgiving, obedience, and lastly, soul winning. If you want to have guarantees to your prayers always, just go and look at John 15:16. It says, bear fruits that will remain, and you can ask me for anything and it will be granted. It's a blank check from God. Say, ask me anything, it will be granted, if we are consistently in soul winning. So, in the ingredients of answer prayers, we have seen intentionality, consistency, confidence, and the will of God. And that will of God was just explained in four parts. So, number five is faith. Without faith, there is no answer. It is the second guarantee that your prayers will be answered. James 1:6-8 says, a double-minded man should not expect to receive anything from God. So when you have double-mindedness, then answers to prayers, don't even expect it. That's what God said. I didn't say it. He said, if you are double-minded, will God do it? Will he not do it? Then you have to set your heart first. Then faith gives us approval before God. Hebrews 11:6. He said, he who comes to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So our approval is dependent on our faith. So if you want any prayer you are praying to be answered, you must have faith. Then number six, let me start from the beginning again. Number one is intentionality. Number two, consistency. Number three, confidence. And number four, the will of God. Number five is faith. Then number six, forgiveness and offense-free heart. You can't finish fighting your husband and pray to God and be expecting answers to prayers, except you have settled the issue, or your wife, or your friends, or your brother, or your father, or your mother. No. The first thing to do is to make sure that the issue of offense is settled. Many Christians are missing this. And I pray that God will really open the eyes of all of us to know that there is no answer when there's an offense in your heart or in my heart. Jesus said, If you want to give an offering, just an offering in the church, and you realize you have an issue with somebody, you have cause with somebody to settle, and you have not settled it, he said, forget whatever you are doing. Go and settle the issue of offense first. So if you have offense against anyone, or somebody has offense against you, and you have not tried to settle it, that's how serious this matter is. You know somebody is angry with you, and you did not take steps to make peace. God is saying your prayers may be in that. They offended you. God is saying you make the first move to go and settle the matter if you want your prayers to be answered. This cannot be stressed enough. Many Christians are missing it in this part. Offense in church, somebody is angry with his pastor, angry with his friends in church, angry with his family, and you raise up holy hands in quotes to pray. There is no answer. That is why if you look at that Lord's Prayer, he said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. So if you have not forgiven, pause at that place, go and forgive first, go and settle issues first, then come back and pray. Then the seventh ingredient is the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is what gives us access to God. Naturally, the Bible says that all our righteousness, they are like filthy rags. That means no matter how good I am, no matter how righteous I am still dirty before God. But when I come in the name of Jesus, and that's what happens when somebody is born again, you have the mark of Jesus on you, you have the name of Jesus on you. So when you come in the name of Jesus to God, you can be guaranteed of answers. Why? Because Jesus is a pure person. He has no blemish. So God sees Jesus, not you, and he answers you. And because you are representing God on earth just like Jesus, your prayers can be answered. Praise the Lord. Every other thing in prayer is child's play without the name of Jesus. That is the guarantee you have for access towards God. And it makes the only living God know that you are praying to him. Praise the Lord. You can pray to any other thing, but when you mention the name of Jesus, God knows you are talking to him. And it is the qualification to pray and have audience with God. The name of Jesus. It says, whatever you ask in my name, I will give it to you. What is number 8? Soul winning and kingdom advancement. I don't know, maybe it's only 5% or 10% of Christians who have the idea of how this actually works. We must understand that soul winning and kingdom advancement is a secret. Maybe I should just give my personal example. Before 2015, I've been praying about so many things. I've been expecting so many things to happen in my life. Now, in our church then, we started back-to-back evangelism. And we are made to understand that you can have access to your answers without even praying through soul winning. At first, I was like, this thing looks as if it's not correct. I don't understand. I've never heard this. So I somehow just engaged. 2015 to 2017, many things in my life that were delayed were settled. In fact, I wasn't praying about many things. Now, I hardly have anything on my prayer list. Very few things on my prayer list. Why? Because when you engage in soul winning, it is the art of God. The very art of God. If you want to make a man happy, just try to do what he wants. Man or woman in this case now. You want to get something from a man, do what he cannot do for himself. Do what he wants you to do. Just be at the center of the art of that person. You'll be shocked that how the person will be lavishing you with gifts. When you want to go and greet a rich man, don't go empty-handed. Go with something he will like. Maybe he loves fruits. Just go with fruits. By the time you are living, you'll be living with gold. Praise God. That's what God wants. God gave one assignment to every child of God. It is soul winning. Matthew 6:33, seeking the kingdom of God. He said, seek first the kingdom of God, and other things will be added unto you. So if you are able to do that, except God is a liar, and I know it's not a liar, you'll be shocked at how many things have been added to your life. I've tested it. I've seen it in the lives of people. I've seen people that were trusting God for the fruit of the womb for like 7 years. Two different people in the same local church. They were trusting God for the fruit of the womb. They've done everything. They prayed, they fasted. But when they started engaging in soul winning consistently, both of them had twins each. Why? Because of soul winning. Every other thing did not bring answers fast as soul winning. If every child of God will engage in this, we will have lesser prayer lists, you know, to deal with. So another thing, number 9, is prayer and fasting. I know some people's hearts will be skipping now. Fasting is what is not palatable to most people. Who doesn't want to eat? You want to eat and enjoy yourself. But some prayers require fasting. The Bible says that This kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting, meaning that every kind goes out by prayer and fasting. And what happens in prayer? You build strength. You build capacity. What your capacity wouldn't have done normally, when you fast, you change levels and are able to go above the level of the problem and you rise above it. That's actually what happens. You can break the bonds of wickedness through prayer and fasting. We can read Isaiah 58 and see, you know, the benefits of prayer and fasting. Then number 10, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. It is the packaging that makes our prayer acceptable and attractive to God. You know, the men here will understand that maybe when you are dating your wife, if you are married and if you are not married, when you are dating somebody and you want to give them a gift, you don't just put it in their hand and say, I bought this for you. No, you package it, you make it look beautiful and attractive. That is exactly what Thanksgiving is. God loves Thanksgiving so much. Jesus healed 10 people, one person returned back, and Jesus started proclaiming that, wow, out of 10 people, one person returned. He now told the person, be made whole. He didn't tell other people that. So God loves Thanksgiving so much that if you don't thank God, you may just be praying, and God is saying, I don't even trust this guy. Maybe if I give him, he won't come back. So Thanksgiving is like a seal to our prayers. It makes God so happy and interested in answering you. And apart from that, God tells us that Thanksgiving is the will of God. And you know that if you're in the will of God, there is a guarantee that prayers will be answered. Praise the Lord. And another thing we want to look at tonight is, it is not enough to have all the ingredients. It is not enough to know what to cook if you are making a soup. Another thing that is required is the method of cooking. Some food require low heat. Some you can increase the heat so that it will be fast. If you are cooking beans, it's not the same way as when you are cooking chicken. You want to cook it the right way. They don't cook it the same way. There are some foods that is low heat, you know, continuous low heat. That's what will bring out the perfect thing. The same way in prayer. For your prayers to be answered, you may have all the ingredients. If you pray the wrong way, you may still not get answers. So what is the first one? First approach to prayer. Pray with a proper disposition. I need to acknowledge Bishop Oyedepo here, who made me understand these two items. Number one is one line prayer. Meaning that you can pray the same prayer for as long as possible until you are conscious in your spirit that God has answered. Jesus tells us that we should not pray vain repetition. But he also tells us that you can pray repeatedly. How do we know that? Jesus himself prayed repeatedly. So repetition is not the problem. It is when the repetition is vain that it is the problem. Matthew 26, 36 to 34 tells us about Jesus when he was about to go to the cross. And he wanted to change the mind of God. And he was like, God, I wish this thing would pass over. The Bible said he prayed it the first time, he prayed it the second time, he prayed it the third time. The same things. The Bible said he was saying the same things. So there's one line prayer. You need something done. You may have to repeat it and say, Father, this is what I want. What is happening then? Your spirit is connecting what you need. Your desires are getting stronger. And you are actually telling God you are serious. That is what I see happening there. So there's one line prayer that you repeat it. It's not every prayer you pray like that, but there are some cases that you want to get something. You pray it until you know that it is answered. Either whether you get the answers physically or you get it in your spirit and you know that, no, this is a done deal. Then the second point under the proper disposition is one man prayer. You don't need all the world to pray with you. Elijah, the Bible tells us in James 5:17, is that Elijah was a man of like passion. That's with all the feelings, frailties, weaknesses like we are. He said, but he prayed that there would be no rain, there was no rain. He prayed again and reversed it that there should be rain, and there was rain after 2.5 years. So you don't need many people all the time. Yes, there's a prayer of agreement where you pray with many people. But God is telling us that you alone can actually pray and make wonders happen and even affect your whole nation if you pray with the right disposition and pray with faith. Praise the Lord. Then our time is fast spent, so I think we'll take this next week. Pray the right kind of prayer. This is so important. I want to beg you, please don't miss this next week. Pray the right kind of prayer. There are different kinds of prayers. The frustration of believers come when they treat every occasion of prayer, occasion of need the same way. There's a prayer of inquiry, there's a prayer of warfare, there's a prayer of intercession, praise and worship, consecration. you don't pray this kind of prayer the same way, it won't get the same answers. When demons are attacking you, that's not the time of asking questions. No, you face the demon and deal with him directly. That's a prayer of warfare. Maybe the powers of darkness in your place of work, they are ganging up against you. No, it's a time to rise up, midnight or whichever time. That moment, begin to resist and fight in the spirit. So that's a prayer of warfare. It is not a prayer of, Father, we declare. No, that's a different kind of prayer. So we must understand it. I want to invite you next week that please don't miss this. We'll be looking at the kinds of prayer. Then apart from that, we'll look at why answers are delayed. There are so many reasons why answers can be delayed. You have the right ingredients. You are praying the right way. You are doing it right. But it can still be delayed. So we'll be looking at that next week. And I pray that as we join, God bless us all in Jesus' name. If you have any question, you are free to take it. Praise the Lord.
Yes, my question is, can we say the answers to prayer is proportional to a transitional growth in Christ? Like, you know, the Bible was talking about when we were babies, we were being fed.
Yes.
Because I could experience is when I gave my life to Christ nearly, whatsoever I asked for then, before I close my eyes and pray, it's already done. Can we say because of a transitional change, there might be delays in answers to prayers? And I have another question. The second one is, please give an example of vain repetition in prayer.
Vain repetition. Okay.
I've been hearing vain repetition. Maybe we have been practicing it without us knowing it.
Okay, so not to waste our time, we just dive into this. God will give us answer. So number one, just like the scripture you quoted, when someone just gives his life to Christ, just like a baby, you are just born. You'll be spoon-fed. You said that pray the right kind of prayer. Even then, maybe when you just give your life to Christ, you can pray the same kind of prayer. You can pray all the, you know, whatever you want, pray the same way. You still somehow get the same answers. But when you begin to mature, God wants us to take some responsibilities. For example, Kenneth Hagin of blessed memory shared this example. He said Jesus appeared to him, and as Jesus was talking, a demon appeared and started making funny noises, and he started doing a scream to block him from seeing Jesus. And Kenneth Hagin was like, "Ah, Jesus, how could somebody be doing this to you?" You know, he was getting angry that I can't hear Jesus again, I can't see Jesus. So he just got angry and said, "Demon, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." That's how that demon fell down. And I think I started children, and all the blockage, all the hindrance disappeared. So he was not asking Jesus, like, "Jesus, what happened? Why didn't you deal with the demon?" And Jesus said, "I couldn't do anything." And I was like, "What do you mean you couldn't, or you didn't want to know?" Say, "I couldn't, because I've given you the power of attorney. All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me, and Jesus came to give it to us." So if as a child of God, you don't know when to use the prayer of warfare, the Christian could just be suffering under silence. You are praying that God help me, when you are supposed to look at the demon itself and rebuke and destroy the demon by yourself, by the power that God has given you through the name of Jesus. So if you are praying to God in that situation, the person will just be wasting time, especially as a mature Christian. So as a mature Christian, God is expecting us to take more responsibility. That's number one. Then number two, as we are growing, God is expecting us to outgrow some situations. For example, if a Christian is just living as a bread and butter Christian, "God give me, God give me," after a while, God wants you to mature, to go and start winning souls, to start praying for other people, to start laying hands on the sick for the sick to be healed. That's what God expects. But if the Christian remains the same and is still saying, "God, come and heal me, God, come and do this, God, come and do this," God will just be looking at the person because he has reached maturity stage. And God may allow the person to go through difficult situations so that the person can wise up and know what to do. So that's why every child of God must take responsibility in soul winning, in everything that Jesus said we could do. Pray for the sick. When people are sick around you, don't be the doctor that first tells them, "Okay, go and use drug," when you're not doctor in quotes, even if you're a doctor. As a child of God, you want to tell them about Jesus first. Of course, if it's not official or your family member is going through a situation, pray with the faith that Jesus said, "Heal the sick." as you begin to heal the sick, sickness will not find expression in your body. So that's how I can respond to that. Then the second question, then repetition. Now, Jesus was talking about those people, the Pharisees, that they thought that they would be healed because of their repetition. We are not healed because we are repeating. We are healed because we are praying in faith, and we have all those ingredients we mentioned earlier. You are praying in faith, you are praying according to the will of God. So that is the guarantee for the prayer, not the repetition. The repetition is not the guarantee. It's just like when, you know, our children, when they come to you and say, "Daddy, I want this thing. Daddy, I want this thing." They are just repeating it and saying it over and over and over again. "Yeah, Jesus, Daddy, give me. Daddy, give me." You may even get annoyed and flog the child. "Why are you repeating things? I've heard you." So the same way, we must be careful not to just repeat for repeating's sake. Or somebody is saying, "Father, do it. Father, do it. Father, do it." You are just repeating, "Father." And God is even saying that, "Wait, what should Father do? What should I do?" You are not saying it. Okay, what is the guarantee that I should do this? Tell me, give me a strong reason from the Bible why this should be done. Nothing. And so God will just be looking at it. So that is vain. It holds no water. It is called vain repetition. The person is just repeating for repeating's sake. Praise the Lord. So that one is vain. It holds no water. But Jesus knew what he was doing. He was trying to tell God to find out the last minute that, "God, is this exactly what you want me to go through or not?" So that is why Jesus' own kind of repetition is not vain. He knew what he was doing. He was praying in faith. He was talking to God. He was asking questions. So next week, we'll look at prayer of inquiry. We'll understand what Jesus was doing and understand all that better. Praise the Lord. Please don't miss next week. But next week, we'll be looking at the right kind of prayer, now to pray the right kind of prayer for every situation, and why prayers are delayed. That's what we'll be looking at next week. Let's not miss it. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for a wonderful time in your presence. Thank you for your grace, for your goodness, for your loving kindness, for the opportunity to learn at your feet tonight. And Lord, I pray that for everyone here tonight, let us be baptized with the spirit of grace and supplication. That as we pray tonight with this understanding we have, everyone will begin to get answers to prayers. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. See you next week. And please invite someone. Bye.
The good success.com.